Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Part of The Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday edition of The Drive. Another good-looking but hot September afternoon, and expect another one tomorrow. Temperatures around 90 for kickoff tomorrow between Auburn and Arkansas. It's the SEC opener for both teams tomorrow. And what has been, I mean, this has been a crazy series. Auburn has had the upper hand over the last decade. They had that six-game winning streak from 17 to 20. What, 16 or 17 to 21? But the last couple of years, the road team has gone in and absolutely embarrassed the home team. Last year, Auburn went in as a slight underdog and just destroyed Arkansas 48 to 10. Arkansas coming in now, and they're about a 2.5-point underdog to an Auburn team that we'll see Hank Brown get his second start, his first SEC start. So a lot to talk about as we look at this. Bill here, Dan is on his way. Coach Don Dunn is alongside as well. Don, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
This you've been through quite a few of these Auburn-Arkansas games, and I mean it's physical, but it's one of those games where watch out early on. It seems like if a team jumps on the other one, it's really tough for the team that gets down.
Yeah, when I was at Auburn, we had a lot of battles. We weren't great against Arkansas. We won a few, but
right.
They ran over us a couple times. I remember
and
Tally.
And threw us.
And, yeah, and yeah, that's the old one. Joke is he's still running by my window.
Right.
And that's not funny, but it was true. But, yeah, I look for a real tough game tomorrow. Our defense, like we talked earlier, has to get better. We got to stop the run. And on offense, we got to be able to run the ball, which we did better last week.
Did much better last week. Arkansas statistically is one of the better teams in the country now. I don't know. I mean, and they played against a running back that was the Doak Walker winner last year and held him to less than 3 yards a carry and 50 yards for the game.
Yeah, you know, Coach Petrino will have a good plan. And he you know, a lot of people think Bobby's a passing guy, but he loves to run
the
football.
He loves to run it. I mean, if he can get you having to play
and
run.
And balance you up.
Look out.
Yes, yes. And I know last year, even though he was at A&M, they did a good job of balancing against us.
Last year they had right at 200 yards rushing and passing.
I think,
in that ball game when Connor Wigman went down and Max Johnson. I was there at that game.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a break for Auburn when Wegman went down. It was a tight ball game. Then Max Johnson came in and made some great throws and some big runs well. And that's something that Auburn's going to have to be concerned with tomorrow. Talen Green is a very athletic quarterback, and he's 6'6", 230.
Yeah, he's a big kid and very athletic, like you said. He's lanky. He's played pretty well. He has made some crucial mistakes, and hopefully that will continue. And, you know, he's been sacked 6 times, which we got to get better at that. We need to improve it. We did better last week. We got a couple of sacks. We got a couple of interceptions. We need to get some turnovers for sure.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, the turnover battle is critical in this ball game. Auburn got its first 2 turnovers of the season last week, so – They need to continue that as well. Yeah,
right.
we'll break that one down. Quite a few interesting ball games going on around the Southeastern Conference and the country as we're just underway here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Love to hear from you. Love to get your thoughts on the ball game. I see more and more national people picking Arkansas in this ball game, and I'm not surprised. I mean, Arkansas has that close call that they came away feeling they should have won at Oklahoma State, whereas, you know, Auburn's best win, I guess, is the New Mexico win last
week. Yeah, I mean, it has to be. And, you know, they're not a bad football team.
They had a close call against Cal.
Yeah.
But that was at home.
Right, right. And, you know, New Mexico's not a terrible team, but
They're pretty bad defensively.
Right, right. But we got, like we said and we have been saying and other people have said, I think the key is our defense. And we got to stop the run and get turnovers.
Yeah, now as we welcome Dan in. Traffic is traffic spun out there today, Dan.
Yeah, sorry guys, I got caught behind Fred Talley.
You're funny.
Well, you could have just drafted off of him.
Yeah, he's still running by my window.
You know, so here's the thing. Fred Talley was a little bit before my time as someone following Arkansas, following Auburn really close. 2006, I brought up a couple times this week because that's a game to me where, I mean, just being totally blindsided. And then it was like I got a taste of the Fred Talley experience there when McFadden and Jones and Peyton Hillis came in. And that was 06. Auburn was the number two team in the country. Everybody was all excited because Tim Tebow and the Florida Gators were coming to town a week later. And this Arkansas team that had already lost to USC and wasn't picked to finish all that high in the conference. New offensive coordinator. Some German-sounding name out of high school in Arkansas, Malzahn. Well, you know, I think it was, you know, and three running backs who turned out were going to be real.
He brought his quarterback with him.
He brought his tight end with him. And Mustaine helped, but it was. I mean, the show was running back. And McFadden was
absolutely
something that I'd. And then you guys went and paid him back a year later with the buzzer beater up in Fayetteville. Coach.
Yeah, then we beat him and held them to, I think, under 100 yards.
They were scoreless for the most, I think the first 55
strange
or
games.
Minutes.
And like Bill said, it was usually a home team got beat. It was crazy.
The road teams have played very well and won quite a few
and
of the ball games.
That is a tough place
series
to get to. Oh, my Lord.
Mm. Yep. So we're taking your thoughts on the ball game, anything you want to talk about sports-wise, and you can get through to us by calling the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
All right, let's go ahead and get to the hotline, and Jay is up first. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Good to hear it. I'm wrapping up the yard work and had this ball game on my mind. I'll be over there tomorrow. Try to look you guys up if I can. I'll just get it out there. I'm thinking Auburn 31-28. I think it's pretty common guess these days. And I don't gamble a lot, but I'll tell you, the things that I think are going to make the difference are going to be our offensive line and how we're going to, you know, somebody yesterday was talking about being able to get the ball on the outside a little bit, and I'm going to be interested to see if we're going to pin and pull our stretch concept, our outside zone, or if we're going to go straight up just a wide zone blocking scheme. I'm interested to see that. Interested to see how our guards and our center are going to play this week.
Yeah, I think that's critical. They did not play well last week.
No, they didn't. And I kind of graded them the way I graded mine in high school. And I'll tell you, we're not going to win many SEC games having one or more of those kids grading in the 70s or even the 80s for that matter. I mean, we just flat out miss blocks at the point of attack too often. But if I was some kind of expert, which I am not, I would say our big keys to winning at 31-28 are going to be our number one. I think it's going to be our punt game. And I'm talking about both sides of the ball, our coverage, and, you know, everybody in the world is talking about we've got to catch that punt, and that's a big deal. But our punt game is going to dictate our field position, which I believe will come into play with helping this young quarterback. Number two, everybody talks about the turnover battle. I worry about this one, but I think their quarterback turns it over just enough.
He has been prone to turnovers. Yes.
Yeah. And if we can turn it over once at the most, I think that gives us an edge on that. As much as I know, it's just scary as heck with having a running back put the ball on the ground and worrying when our first interception is going to come. And then third, I think whichever team's got the most explosive plays has got is why I think they got a shot at scoring four touchdowns or more. And I think we have got as good a chance as anybody right now to score with explosive plays. And we know, you know, you guys have talked all week about the reasons with Hank's arm and our receiving core. But to back up again, it'll come down to that offensive line. I'm telling you, they graded well the other day, I think, when we were just purely throwing the ball. Now, some of that was because of the front, I believe, we were facing, and we just manned them up, and they didn't get to the quarterback. I did see our left tackle late in the game get our quarterback killed. It might have been a sub, but our quarterback took a hard hit late in the game on a missed block. But guys, I'm excited about it. I surely hope we win the game, and if we score 31, I think we will. Our offensive line has got to do the job, but I think it'll come down to our punt game, that turnover battle, and whoever's got the most explosive plays. And I'm kind of really excited about making this 2.5-hour drive to get there tomorrow morning, and then get to kind of watch and be a fan and a cheerleader, not just somebody trying to analyze what's going on.
Well, I hope the drive home is pleasant. That would generally indicate that it's been a good day.
I appreciate that. That drive home after wins and listening to the radio and all the analysis after the game. After a win, it's a whole lot more making that drive.
All right, Jay, great hearing from you. Have a safe trip.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
All right, 334-321-1390. I think one of the things he brought up is really interesting. We've talked about, you know, concerns and the growing pains with Auburn's secondary. Arkansas's secondary has been a problem for them. So whoever has the opportunity to be able to make some throws without, you know, being harassed too much, I think can make some plays tomorrow.
You know, and it feels like 30 points is a big bet on Auburn. I know a lot of people think they can do it.
I think it's going to take 30.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Arkansas's got a real shot tomorrow. I mean, this is a game where it's hard to pick, especially if you have a rooting interest in Auburn. It's hard to pick Arkansas because I think you know the damage that an Arkansas win would do to the rest of this season and to the Hugh Freeze experiment moving forward. But I think Arkansas's got a real chance tomorrow. I'm really interested to see. Jay made a lot of good points about special teams and how Auburn and Arkansas. I think avoiding turnovers feels crucial tomorrow. I really want to see, you know, how does the protection look when Auburn faces an SEC team this year for the first time? They struggled. I know Hugh Freeze said when it wasn't third and long, he thought the protection actually did a good job against Cal. In the moment, it felt like there were times when the quarterback had very limited time, but that also could be, you know, some of that could be based on what the quarterback is doing with the ball. But I want to see what the protection looks like tomorrow. I want to see what it looks like when the protection isn't perfect, and what Hank Brown does with it.
Travis Williams is going to do everything he can to harass and try to confuse and keep Hank Brown, you know, off stride or whatever, if you will.
Right, and then I want to see how Hank Brown holds up with, you know, the stuff that, I mean, how does he hold up under pressure, and also how does he hold up with stuff that you would consider routine at the college level, like stuff that most quarterbacks are expected to get. I think that he hit most of the throws last week that you would say that about a quarterback, and I think that's going to be, you know, what the fallout from a mistake is bigger in a game like this, and you know how many mistakes can Hank avoid? How many can Arkansas force him into? Coach, you've faced quarterbacks making their first career start or their first career conference start before, especially young ones. Is the prescription from the defense usually dial it up and try to send guys at him?
No doubt. The good thing is it is a home game. Our crowd should help him. It would be a lot worse if we were on the road for his first game. But you're right. I think they're going to do a lot of disguising. I think they'll bring pressure. I look for them to stem their front around a little bit to confuse not only our offensive line but him. I don't think you're going to see them sit in a you know, just sit there the whole pre-snap read. I think they want to give him something that he's not expecting. Maybe the same thing, but out of different looks. So
late movement from the defense and stuff. Late pre-snap movement.
Yeah, drop a guy. But I think they'll come after him, and we got to be able to run the ball to take that away. And I think we can. And we ran it a lot better last week.
So is that like making it harder for? In situations where Hank gets to the line of scrimmage and he wants to decode if the defense is thinking run or pass, moving guys around can sort of make that numbers game tougher for him?
Yeah, well, you know, you got to set your protection. You know, they may have a guy overload to one side, so you're going to slide your protection away or two, chip in the back, all those things that, you know, for a young quarterback, how to set that protection. And a lot of it's on the center, I would imagine. So I look for – if I was coaching against this young man, I would move and stem and disguise, you know, walk him up in the line, walk him back. Bring him from depth, bring him from up. You know, anything to make him think just a little bit. But if you can run the football, that helps.
Well, that's really valuable, Coach, not just because, like, I think that it's a good strategy. It's also you coached the guy who's – you were on the coaching staff – that produced the Arkansas defensive coordinator that I'll see tomorrow, Travis Williams. So it's like I think a lot of the fundamentals that you I think they've been instilled in Travis Williams. Like it's a pretty good preview of and he's you know a very impressive young coach aside from his Auburn bona fides.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that's a guy that's probably going to do a lot of what you're talking about.
Yeah, I would think so.
All right, we will get to our first break of the afternoon. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. We're just underway here on the Friday Drive.
This November, our...
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, joined by Coach Don Dunn. We've got Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in, give us your thoughts on tomorrow. There's so many different things. I mean, obviously, line of scrimmage, Don.
I mean,
we talked about that. Auburn has struggled on both sides, offense, defense. Looks like from the updated injury report today, that things are looking better for Auburn. We know that Isaiah Miller practiced the other day. He is now listed as probable along with Kay and Lee, Antonio Kite, and Champ Anthony. The questionable players for Auburn now are Cam Coleman and Amaris Williams, even though Cam was out at practice but had a yellow non-contact jersey the other day. Alex McPherson has been downgraded to doubtful. I mean, he's still just working his way back, and Justin Ferguson yesterday was saying that was the first time they'd seen him fully dressed out and kicking the other day. And Auburn is fortunately in good stead. I started to say good hands, but it's the
good legs.
You know, I like the way
Towns Magoo.
I like the way Napier is handling the injury reports. I don't know if you've seen Florida Mississippi State's.
I have it here. I haven't really looked at it.
If you're on it,
out.
The only listing he has is you're out.
Because if you're not out, you might be in.
That's
so
right.
They're not gonna list anybody questionable, probable, or doubtful.
They've only listed the players
out. Well, yeah. And they do have like about 10 guys, 3, 6. It is 10 players that are out for the Mississippi State game tomorrow.
And he might be on that list.
That's right.
Right.
The availability list for Florida after coach. The game, if they lose, very well.
I should have never said that.
No,
that's a great line, Don.
And Billy Napier is a respected guy too. Going,
yeah,
into that.
I like him. He's just tough.
Yeah, it's just
one of those things, and it's snowballing.
Yeah.
But anyway, the offensive line, I thought last week the interior of the Auburn offensive line struggled. Connor Lou needs to bounce back. We've seen him play very well at times. Going to have a big challenge, literally big challenge. Arkansas has got a couple of monsters inside. As Justin was saying yesterday, they haven't done a great job of penetrating. But, you know, when you look at Auburn's defensive front, neither have they.
Right.
Auburn will have, both lines are, I mean, it's going to be very important for both lines. The Arkansas offensive line has 3 or 4 transfers in it. So you hope that you know, maybe getting into a hostile environment or something.
Maybe a
communication problem or two.
Some offsides, false starts.
But I mean, the school. I think rushing yards is rushing tomorrow is critical.
For which side?
For either team.
Yeah.
I mean, if Arkansas can run.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a number.
If Jackson and Green and company can run for over 150 yards, then Auburn's going to have to really move the ball well.
I think if Auburn can hold, I mean, without knowing how the game plays out, if Arkansas finishes tomorrow with 150 rushing yards or under, I would think Auburn has done an excellent job defensively in that situation. Mm-hmm. I was thinking the number was closer to 200. As a breaking point, where if you told me Arkansas, I could see.
Oh, I could see Auburn still winning with Arkansas, but I mean, if Arkansas
at 200 though,
but no, not at 200.
If I said if Arkansas breaks 200 yards,
but if Arkansas is at 180, that may not be great.
I think the number that Ferg and I landed on was 175. I think that's the number. Where it's like if you told me, I think one of my picks
Auburn's
for
got
Auburn,
to run for over 150 tomorrow.
Oh yeah, over 150 for Auburn and probably under 175 for Arkansas is a scenario Auburn would welcome. And I think any, you know, once Arkansas creeps over that 175, 180 number, right? Like you're thinking, mm-hmm. Oh boy, this is real trouble because they've got multiple guys who can really punish a defense.
And they've got a couple. I mean, and this isn't a surprise. Does Arkansas always seem to have some giants?
Yes.
I mean, they've got a couple of giant receivers. They've got always a 6'4 and a 6'7
and always big safeties.
A 6'4 receiver who's caught 18 passes, only played in two games, Don, and has 18 receptions. Mm-hmm. He's gone over 100 yards in both games.
Yeah.
The tailback from Utah, Jackson, has just been. I mean, he's
tough.
Well, he is powerful.
They list him at 230. I don't know if I'd buy it. Like that's a big.
That's
a big physical Bobby Petrino. I mean, Bobby
always has those.
Bobby had at Louisville. He had Michael Bush.
Remember he started as a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. he was a quarterback who turned into just a
blasting.
Yeah, a punisher, and that's. I mean that's what Jackson has looked like.
We were talking before you came in, Dan. Bill and I, you know, everybody thinks Bobby's a pass guy, but he loves to run the football. And you know, we think back to the Alabama game when he moved our little fullback to tailback, and we went up there and beat him, and all our running backs were out. So yeah, he's gonna. I know we have
Alex Collins. Yeah, I believe you know had multiple really big seasons.
Yeah.
As a tailback for Bobby.
You know, I was looking at some stuff. I know we've gone back and looked at the A&M offensive game plan from last year, I hope. And, Bill, you mentioned it was almost even passing and rushing.
Oh, yeah.
Right at 200 yards, both. So I know our defensive guys have studied that. Not that, you know, we're completely different, too. But, yeah, like you said, Bill, if they can run the ball, and we're going to be in trouble.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
Michael Bush had about 2,000 yards in 2 years for Bobby in 04 and 05.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. I heard this Cole Kublik was saying, he made it sound like Miller and Cam Coleman probably wouldn't play, or if they did, they wouldn't be, you know, able to help much. I don't know how good y'all's sources are compared to his. But
well, I mean, when Auburn lists him as probable, Auburn lists Too Tall Miller as probable. So I would say I'd be surprised if he doesn't play. And Tuesday, when the media had about a 10-minute viewing window, he was out there with no limitations. Didn't have the non-contact jersey on.
I could see Too Tall on a pitch count, maybe, just because it's his first game back from the injury. But I think that if they thought the offense was limited with Too Tall, they'd go with somebody else. I'm thinking he starts tomorrow. Cam Coleman,
I don't know. I mean, he was in a non-contact on Tuesday, but seemed to be doing everything.
My question would be, how involved can he be in practice? Because that's sort of like the NFL rule of thumb. Like if you're not practicing with contact by Friday, you're probably not playing.
I think
on
Cam
Saturday
may be an exception.
But even the NFL
it's how. How will that shoulder hold up to a hit?
That's what I mean. I mean, if they're not comfortable, you know, having him practice with contact at any point during the week, I wonder, even with a star receiver, although a freshman, I wonder if, like, coach, chime in, please, here. Like, yeah, that's, you know, what's the, you know, the way
we always used to say, if you didn't practice on Wednesday, you were probably not going to be able to play. But I they're all going to play. Let me just tell you, SEC.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he went through everything that they were doing while we were watching.
I would
Tuesday.
Be shocked if they didn't play.
Yeah.
They'll be there.
Okay. Well, hey, last thing. They were talking about this defensive end for Arkansas. I think his name might be Jackson, big guy. They were acting like he was all pro, and I looked it up. He had 5.5 sacks last year, which is the same as what McLeod had, and he's got none this year. So, I mean, I don't – do y'all know much about this guy?
You're talking about Landon Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a solid outside linebacker. I think that he's viewed as, I believe, LSU transfer, viewed as a better player, or at least he was viewed as a better player against the run, who's taken steps forward as a pass rusher. And I think he'd be somebody Arkansas would want to get involved. I mean, so far they've been a better run defense than, you know, their front seven has been better against the run than it has sort of disrupting things in the pass rush. Yeah. But absolutely, I mean, I think Landon Jackson would be, if you're game planning against the Arkansas defense, Landon Jackson is somebody you want to count for.
He is a big guy. You won't miss him. I mean, he's another. I mean, we talked about giants that LSU, that Arkansas has, and he's 6'7", 280.
I'm glad you mentioned McLeod, though, because I think tomorrow's a huge game for McLeod and Keyron Crawford.
But last year he had a huge game.
That's right.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing. Have they had problems pressuring the quarterback, Arkansas?
I think they have 5 or 6 sacks in 3 games, I believe.
Okay, well, that's probably about where Auburn is, and I know Falk's got 3 himself. So
they've been sacked 6 times. Yes,
so they've given up 6. Okay.
Okay, y'all have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Brett. 334-321-1390. We'd love for you to join in. We're at the bottom of the hour, so we'll get to a break. Come on in here on the Friday Drive.
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Don with Drew. It's like the Triple D and Bill here on the Friday Drive. And just looking up and double-checking on the stats, Arkansas has 5 sacks on the season. 4 of those came against Arkansas Pine Bluff. So they've only had 1 sack in their last 2 ball games. But you can guarantee Travis Williams is going to try to dial up some things to get pressure on Hank Brown.
I think excuse, and we're seeing it with some of these teams that have played a 1AA opponent or an FCS opponent. Like, these numbers are skewed. And I almost think we'd be better off only looking at
FBS. Well, and that's what Rain Man was doing yesterday. But when it's this early and you've only played 2 games and you've made a quarterback change, I think it's hard to say, well, these statistics show that this team is better. Yeah. Unless you'd played the same 2 teams, maybe.
Oh, for sure.
So it's really difficult. But, I mean, I understand you have to have something to go by. So it makes perfect sense. And I don't question anybody who's picking Arkansas. I think this looks like a very tight ball game that could go either way, but if one team gets a couple of breaks, we've seen it happen many times, they could run away with it.
I just, you know, how can you have, I mean, you can want, you can desire, but how can you have any real confidence in what you're going to get out of Hank Brown tomorrow until you see it? Like, I think there's reason to believe he could play really well.
There's hope, yes.
But this is still a guy making his first career SEC start.
Fortunately, it's at home.
His only start as a college football player came against a team that is last in a lot of defensive or near the bottom in a lot of defensive statistics in all of the bowl subdivision. And it's you got to be really careful about looking at what you saw against New Mexico State and saying with confidence that's what this is going to look like when you leap from New Mexico to Arkansas as an opponent, because that's not I mean what happened when Auburn went from playing Alabama A&M to Cal, right? Like suddenly a lot of this wasn't as smooth as it was before.
Four touchdowns to four picks.
I think it would be tremendous for Auburn if Hank Brown looked like he belonged from the moment he gets out there tomorrow and excels in the opportunity. And that's certainly a possibility. But it's not always the way the story turns out.
No, you're right. Let's get back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Matt is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I had concerns after the Cal game about offensive line, which I thought was going to be better. There were several times we had blitzes or, pulling guards that just totally whiffed and missed a guy and made a sack or a tackle or something. And I know we had injuries and we shuffled things around. I guess I'm wondering, are we hoping that we'll get better technique-wise and communication-wise, or was that an anomaly, or are we still a long way to go in having a competitive offensive line for SEC play?
That's a really good question. I think the expectation was that the offensive line would be much better. I think from what I heard, and again, I don't have the ability like Jay, who called in a while ago, to go in and grade the offensive line. But
The grades would mean
I don't have the knowledge. Have the knowledge to do that. But but we've heard that Percy Lewis has played better at left tackle the last couple of ball games, and that was, I think, the biggest concern heading in. The loss of Tutal Miller was really big, because that pulled Dylan Wade out from guard to tackle. And last week, I don't know, comparatively how the interior guys did compared to the tackles, but I just, with my eyes, I could see that there were problems on the inside. So if Dylan is able to move back in there, Jeremiah Wright, I think, is somebody they're really high on. And Connor Liu, everybody has off games, and that appears what he had last week. Connor Liu bounces back, then Auburn's got a chance to be above average on the offensive line. But, injuries did force some changes. It'll be interesting to see how they treat that. They built a little depth now, but it'll be interesting to see, how much, if any, rotation there is on the front.
My guess would be if we're seeing a starting line tomorrow of Percy Lewis, Dylan Wade, Connor Liu, Jeremiah Wright, Tutal Miller, if that's left to right, what the offense looks like. I'm thinking if you had to pull either of the tackles, Wade moves out to tackle and Joyner goes in at guard.
That would be my guess. First move.
There's also talk of Joyner spelling Jeremiah Wright on occasion to keep Jeremiah Wright effective in the second half.
He's the first replacement apparently at either guard. Tate Johnson would be the backup, I believe, at center.
I wonder if Ronan Chambers would be in the – like, he would probably be the next tackle after those three.
After those three, yeah. He'd probably be the fourth.
Yeah, he'd probably be the next one if they had to go to a fourth back. I mean, which I guess if Tutal re-aggravates an injury or is falters, we're also going to see what it looks like at left tackle, Percy and Tyler, for the first time against that. It was Percy and Ronan at the end of the Cal game. So, I mean, Auburn's had to go to the
– I heard that we're getting a tight end. We had a tight end.
Jaden Muskrat's gonna change numbers. It'll be interesting to see what number he has to be. The
not gonna
big...
be an option.
And he had sort of been a third guy at a couple of those spots, so that's actually good for him to get an opportunity to be able to be in there in the ball game, an extra block.
He could be a heavy load, a third tight end, or an extra tackle on sort of offsets and things like that. And I think they could. I think they trust. He's played so much college football. They trust him to get the job done. Those things. We'll see if they throw it to him.
I doubt that.
We'll see if we'll see if he gets a touch.
Before I hang up,
sure.
I appreciate it. Everybody keeps talking how we need to get more turnovers. How can you coach up getting more turnovers? Are they saying trying to rip the ball out more? Are they we're trying to tell them to be more aggressive, jumping routes? That makes me a little nervous. I mean, either you get them or you don't. I've always been.
No, you've got to capitalize when you have a chance. I mean, think back, J.C. Hart and Ken Lee. J.C. had one that he just sort of misjudged. And then Kay and Lee had a pick six that might have turned that Cal ball game around. When you have opportunities, you just got to go ahead and take them. No, you can't. You can't just say, okay, we're gonna change our style completely. Although I do think Auburn will be more aggressive defensively this week than we saw last week.
Was there anything, Coach, was there anything you guys would do to
emphasize
turnovers?
Yeah, every day we spent, time on turnovers, tackling, ensure the tackle first. You don't want to strip the ball before you ensure the tackle. Second man in trying to strip. There's times that you try to get a turnover by stripping. Other times you want to make sure you get the guy down. Tip balls, we always said tip balls, overthrows, you got to get them. Like Bill was saying, you got to get them. And, we worked on ball drills with the DBs catching, the linemen, get your hands up, all that kind of stuff. So you work on it, but sometimes you just don't get them, and other years you get a ton of them.
Mm-hmm. I've always sort of been of the opinion that, the more fundamentally sound the defense is, the more turnovers will just happen,
exactly.
By the
process. Exactly. If you're doing your job, you're in the proper gap, you're in the proper run lane, the fits, as we say, on defense – then you have a better chance.
I will make one criticism though, Bill. I will offer one note about I think one way Auburn could maybe be forcing more turnovers. I think there are times when the defensive linemen closing in on the quarterback are going for the hit. And in the NFL, it is preached that if the quarterback has the ball and you can touch him, you're going for the ball. You're going to knock the ball out in that situation. And we've seen
haven't seen many. Auburn no, we haven't had a ton of them. The quarterback enough.
Keldrick and Malik have had hits on. I think the Cal game comes to mind, where it's like you got a big hit on the quarterback, and in those situations, you love the big hit. You love the highlight reel shot. But if your fingers are near that ball, you need to be trying to knock that ball out more than you need to be trying to rattle the quarterback with a big hit. And I think that's something Auburn. Keldrick's a sophomore. Malik Blockton's a freshman. They both had really impressive hits on the quarterback. I think Auburn's had some opportunities to force some fumbles. Maybe, looking back, that's something that I think maybe they're going to try to work on more with the rest of the season.
Appreciate the call, Matt. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love to hear from you. Get your thoughts on tomorrow's matchup or any of the games. Some really interesting games going on. We've talked Cal a few times. Cal's about a 2.5-point underdog to Florida State tomorrow, and I see a lot of people, thinking that's the easiest money in the world. I don't know. That's
long trip.
Easiest money in the world to bet Cal?
Yes, that's what I've been hearing from a lot of people. It's like, look, Cal's not bad. Don't get me wrong; they're not bad at all. They're a pretty good team. Florida State's either going to. I mean, here's the thing: if I knew Florida State had thrown in a towel and then they tanked it, then yeah, that would be pretty easy money. But I don't know that that's the case.
It's not easy money. Yet. Florida State has lost three close games. It's not a team that's gotten embarrassed three times and you look like there's effort problems. I would say the bigger concern effort wise is at Florida and not Florida State. If you're talking about that's the one where if you want to talk about an upset happening tomorrow because a team is laid, a team is thrown in the towel, I would look to Starkville instead of Tallahassee.
Wow.
Potentially as where that could happen. Having said that, Cal's defense is plucky.
Cal's defense is solid.
They have two ends who can get to the passer. I thought the secondary probably outplayed Auburn's secondary, all things considered, in the matchup 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a Florida State offense that better figure some things out.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're,
I wonder if they'll stick with DJU.
Or you go to Brock Glenn, who hasn't necessarily been viewed as he's been running solidly behind DJU since DJU showed up. Although people would say that about Peyton Thorne.
That's exactly what people outside Auburn are saying, and why everybody's picking Arkansas.
That's right. Yeah. And remember, Brock Glenn was a guy we talked about a lot as a recruit. Auburn's his first name.
That's exactly right.
He ends up at Florida State. But Florida State's got quarterback, offensive line, receiver, and defensive line issues.
You got a lot.
All right, the full boat. You're going to compare it with Auburn. All right, so we don't know yet what we're going to get from Hank Brown. There have been offensive line questions.
Yes.
There have been defensive line questions. There have been secondary questions.
Right. Although I think Auburn has looked – well, actually, no, you're right. Florida State's played three major conference teams.
Yeah.
And Auburn's 0-1 against major conference teams. So it's the only difference is Auburn wasn't knocking on the playoff last year.
That is right.
They weren't on the verge of the college football playoff.
All right. We will get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join us here on the Friday Drive.
This is Christian Griffin.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Final segment of hour number one here on the Friday Drive with Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, Drew at the controls, and some point, I guess in the second hour, we'll look at games around the country. We've mentioned a couple, but obviously focusing here on the Auburn Arkansas. It's not a huge weekend. What are there, three maybe four SEC games?
Yeah, Tennessee, Oklahoma,
Florida, Mississippi State, and Vandy, Missouri, in addition to Auburn, right? In Auburn, Arkansas. So you got four full conference games. Alabama and Georgia with the week off before they clash next week in Tuscaloosa.
You got a LSU UCLA, which seemed more interesting
back in the summer.
Maybe when it was scheduled. I heard Jacob's guest earlier today, Lee Sterling, say that this is the worst UCLA team in over 50 years.
Yeah. That's probably about right.
Wow.
There have been some mediocre UCLA teams.
Oh, no, this
over
is,
the last 50
there
years.
There aren't there. I mean, Bill, there aren't a ton of wins left on this schedule. All right, let's just. I mean, you're talking road games for UCLA the rest of the way. Penn State, Rutgers, Nebraska, and Washington. Your home games the rest of the way. Oregon, Minnesota, Iowa, USC and Fresno State. Not a ton of wins.
Yeah, that may be nine losses.
Not a ton of wins on that schedule.
The old guy knew when to leave.
They were lucky to beat Hawaii.
Chip was ready to get out anywhere.
He's not stupid.
And I think part of that was roster acclimation. I mean, there were concerns with both UCLA coaches, men's basketball coach Mick Cronin and Chip Kelly, that they had alienated we were just talking off the air about the importance of having good relationships with high school athletic associations and different organizations that a lot of coaches belong to. And there had been grumbling that part of the reason that the recruiting wasn't up to par at both in both football and men's basketball for UCLA locally, you know, the local recruiting wasn't there, is a lack of relationships between the important people at the university and the important
and
people
in the high schools.
And it's like, what? I mean, you should, that roster should be 80% Southern California kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it should probably be pretty good.
Yes.
And it's neither of those things right now. And that's, we've seen other people go to relatively talent-rich areas and say, well, I don't really want to recruit regionally. I'm going to sort of build a national sort of thing. And it tends to be someone else is there with a new plan a couple of years later
when
that happens.
That'll get you every time. You got to take care of your local high schools and the bordering states. You got to take care of them.
And that's something I think Coach Freeze has done a good job with with his high school recruiting in the first 2 years or so of him being on the job emphasizing.
And we talked back in the winter, and this is a little bit off base, but recruiting, when you go out in the spring, you go to every school in your area. I don't care if they haven't had a prospect in 30 years. It takes 5 minutes to go in, shake a hand, meet the principal, and then go to the next school. But, just driving by a school just because they don't have a prospect in your own home state or, like, Georgia.
They could have one coming up anytime. They may not have one.
And you don't know who
that
guy is. He may have a cousin down the road. Uh-huh. I mean,
you don't know who's going to move there.
Plus, it's good PR. You got to go. And those guys work their butts off, high school coaches. So go see them. Invite them to a game. Invite them to your camp. And then they don't forget that.
I had a coach tell me once. He said, you do that, for a variety of reasons, the right thing to do, maybe chief among them. But also, that there could be a freshman nobody knows about.
You never know
at that school that's going to remember that a coach came and said hi to him.
Plus,
remembers that a coach didn't say hi to him.
Plus, you meet some of the greatest characters and the coaches at some of these small schools out in the country or whatever. Then you go home that night, you get in the hotel, whatever, and you write them a thank you note and drop it in the mail the next day. You got to do it. And I know it's old school, but it's important. And now you can text them and all that, but still, dropping that note, great to be by your school, you're doing a great job, and they appreciate that. And then get them to your camps, and that's one thing Coach Tuberville did. He had a lot of support with the high school coaches in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and it paid off for us in recruiting.
Yeah, you've definitely got to do that. All right, we're approaching the end of hour number one of the Friday Drive.
We could have a call in hour number two with our old buddy Ty Richardson.
Oh yeah, good deal.
hit that line up in Arkansas. Going to join us.
I would imagine they're feeling pretty good about their chances.
I believe they are on the.
Great to hear from them.
I believe the caravan is headed down from Fayetteville now,
man.
And we're gonna hear from our old buddy Ty in hour number two.
All right, so. We'd love for you to join in the second hour, 334-321-1390. We're right back here on the Friday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. A good-looking, but it is a warm Friday afternoon. Going to be another hot one tomorrow with temperatures expected to be around 90 for a high. So that means during the ball game, the heat, we will reach our high sometime early in the ball game tomorrow between Auburn and Arkansas. Hour number two of The Drive brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Love to hear from you. You can call us on The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. It's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Want to remind you, high school football coming up with a couple of big ball games this evening as Auburn High hosting JAG, the former Jeff Davis High School. The JAG Jaguars are coming to Duck Sanford Stadium as Auburn looks to remain unbeaten. Tigers last week, very impressive win as they went down to Enterprise and put over 50 points on the Wildcats. So they're back home at Duck Sanford Stadium tonight. 6:30 airtime, 7 o'clock kick on Wings 94.3.
Yeah, they looked very impressive. Wow. I didn't expect that, to be honest with you.
I thought
we could win.
That's
usually
a very tough place to go. And Enterprise has some talent.
Yes.
I mean, they've got quite a few guys
Division One
Division One,
right,
including Eric Winters, the outstanding safety. And Lee Scott also looking to remain unbeaten as they're going to be heading up to Randolph County for their ball game this evening as they're off to a perfect start moving to the AHSAA.
Yep. Good high school football. And, if you get a chance, go out and support them. It's a great deal. And I'll say it again, they should not have pro or college games on Friday night. And I'll get off my soapbox.
Well, I was about to get to that in a minute after I let you know that you can hear Christian with the play-by-play at 6:30. Actually, pregame 6:30, kick at 7 o'clock on AU 100. And yes, I was going to say, we have a top 25 matchup tonight in college football as Nebraska hosting number 22, Nebraska, hosting 24th-ranked Illinois.
Yeah, that is a good matchup. It just needs to be tomorrow.
No, I agree with you, Coach. I mean, and especially
last night.
No, especially
yeah, yeah.
especially
Thursday.
In a place like,
I like Thursday nights.
Well, and college football is mostly abandoned Thursday nights because the NFL has that game on Thursdays every week now. And,
boy,
and,
Appalachian State.
Yeah.
That shocked me. They got killed. Major, South Alabama.
Major conference college football.
South Alabama's offense is has been rolling.
Kingsbury, he's doing great. But, major conference college football has abandoned Thursdays because of the NFL.
And, exactly.
And Fox has a Friday night game every week.
Right.
This season, they used to show wrestling on Friday nights, and now they've pivoted to showing a Big Ten game or I'm with you. I feel like I would prefer, if that were sort of exclusive for high school football and stuff, but as sports tend to move the needle more than anything else on broadcast
sports
television these
and
days,
the gambling and everything else, it all relates.
Yeah, it's a broadcast window to put a game in.
Exactly.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And let's head to it. And Tex is up first this hour. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey, I originally tried to call from op and couldn't get a line out. Then I got an enterprise, and I was on hold, and it fell off. But I'm almost to Ozark now. Bill, I've called you from a lot of places, but none of those before.
I've been to all of those places.
So I'm making my way to go see my grandson and pick my wife up to go to the
So all right, remind me now: is it 3-3 or 4-2?
3-3.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's perfect. Yeah.
5-4-3-2-1 and 3 days.
Wow, that's pretty well spaced among three too. I mean, that's what's cool. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So. Just so you know, if you're traveling between Enterprise and Ozark, there's a traffic jam because 55 in this part of Alabama means 40. Just saying. I'm behind another guy going 40 miles an hour. Mm. So my question is for Coach Dunn.
Yes,
Coach
sir.
Dunn, we're facing a quarterback that is considered to be a pretty good dual-threat quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We are facing a team that historically, under Sam Pittman, has run the football reasonably well.
Yes.
What do we look for tomorrow from our defense that can help stop that?
I think we need to play a four-man front. I know we've been in a lot of three-man front, it looks like, from what I can tell from the TV. But I think we got to be really solid on our gaps and go to more of a four-man front. Our linebackers have to be able to get downhill, fill the gaps. We got to stay in our gaps. We can't jump out of our gap. And we got to stop the run by being, I say, football fundamentally sound, and that's gap control. A lot of times when you see a big run, it's because somebody has jumped out of the gap. We always talked about keeping your hat in the crack, and that means in your gap. Keep your helmet, your eyes in that gap. And don't be peeking. Even if the play goes away from you, you still have to be so disciplined. And I think that's a key, Tex, is being disciplined with your assignments and not trying to overreact and do something you're not supposed to do.
Yeah. And so I have one more question. Our secondary last weekend was that three-man front, and sometimes our linebackers appeared to aggressively attack the ball carrier.
Mm-hmm.
But miss? What? Is it the angle? Is it control? What was going on, do you think, there?
I wish I could answer that. I'd be a millionaire.
I think part of it is youthful exuberance. I think there's some guys that don't have as much experience playing back there. I mean, really, Dan, I mean, you said it a couple of times. I mean, we looked out there, and at times, Auburn was playing two nickels and three safeties.
Oh yeah. Oh no. I mean, Auburn
guys that were comfortable playing corner.
Auburn starts the New Mexico game with five defensive backs on the field, and it's Keontae and Champ outside, and it's Jaron Thompson, Sylvester Smith, and Caleb Wooden. I believe inside. Caleb Harris comes in and plays. Caleb Harris has played the fifth or sixth most snaps of any defensive player this year, the true freshman. Tex, to answer your question, my guess would be yes, it's all those things that you cited as far as why Auburn sort of struggled with Dampier. I also give Dampier a lot of credit for the way he was able to keep plays alive last week. It didn't always end in a big play, but he was a little dynamo with the ball, and we didn't realize there was a baseball connection with Ryan Davis, right?
I had not realized that till Jason Caldwell pointed out that that's Connor Davis's younger brother.
I did not know that either.
Yeah. And of course, Ryan started it. They mentioned it quite a few times on the broadcast that Ryan was a transfer from UAB.
I mean, I said with Jason Caldwell here, Tex, I said, if Ryan Davis has eligibility left and he's in the portal, like, kick the tires.
Well, I think he was definitely motivated to be playing against Auburn.
Turns out he's somebody with an Auburn connection and no eligibility remaining who played very well in his trip to Jordan-Hare Stadium.
But also, Tex, tackling is with your eyes. You know, you got to have a great eye.
I can tackle a whole lot better with my eyes.
Yeah, I'm telling you. If you look, the kids' heads are down, or like Bill said, they get over aggressive. They say, man, this hole opened up. I'm going to go make a big hit. And it's more about under control, coming to balance, and wrapping up. So, you know, all those things, coach speak.
Yeah. Well, and I've always heard, I hadn't played football since my junior year in high school. So, but when you go to make a tackle, eyes on the belly button or the chest, and you wrap, and you don't leave your feet.
Right.
I thought we were, and I agree, I think it was a little over-exuberance trying to make great plays instead of making this basic play. We were attacking very, very hard and coming downhill very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you leave your feet,
right,
and they can see you leave your feet, you're limited in adjustments you can make.
Yeah, exactly right.
They're not.
You're right. We always, you know, we always said run through the tackle 5 steps after contact, wrap up, you know, all those things. But you're right. If you lunge or jump or dive or leave your feet, you're probably 50% chance you're going to miss the tackle.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. Now that I'm in Ozark, I got 5 bars.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, well, that land between Enterprise and Ozark is whoa.
Well, you've been down a little further west in South Alabama. You know how that is.
That is correct, but a little more hilly here compared to down that way.
Yeah, you're right.
So, all right. Well, anyway, I'm looking forward till tomorrow. Hope to see y'all there. And I think we played much better. I think offensively we're gelling. I don't think Dan, you asked about when you determine a play. Well, Coach, back in your day, did they have contact after Wednesday ever?
No, not much. You're exactly right.
Yeah, Thursday was pretty much walkthrough.
Yeah,
right?
Thursday was a lot of times no pads. You know, walkthrough, a lot of special teams, a lot of game situation, substitutions. But you're right, and even now I don't know how much contact these guys have, but we all, you know, you got to have Monday was a, you know, kind of a slow day. Tuesday, Wednesday were our contact days for sure.
The rule of thumb, Tex, the rule of thumb in the NFL is if you're anything less than, like, if you're not participating even in a limited capacity by Friday, it's unlikely that you're going to be able to. Even a superstar is probably not playing in that situation. I would think in college the rule of thumb is going to be if you're not practicing Wednesday, like that, like Coach Dunn was saying, like that seemed like it. If you can't now, if you're limited Wednesday, then there's a decision to make on game day about you.
Because Cam was practicing Tuesday.
Yeah, and it also depends on we all know if you're a great player, you're probably going to play. If you're able to.
And a lot of it depends on who you're playing and who that player is.
I can see him holding them out last week or the first game, but not this game. I look for all of our guys to be healthy and ready to go.
And one more thing, Coach. You mentioned Trey Smith. One of my favorite Auburn-Alabama games is and that day we ran into Cadillac's brother in a Burger King buying
record. Gosh.
So I told him when he walked in wearing 24, I kept looking at him. He goes, no, I'm his brother.
Great story. That was a great game. That was a great game, man. Wow.
Hey, Tex, are you going to make it all the way? Tex, are you going to make it all the way to Dothan, or are you stopping in Ozark?
No, I'm in Ozark, and I am about 450 feet away from the house.
All right, excellent. I was gonna say there's an old.
I've been counting since about 10 o'clock this morning.
There's an old pizza place I used to go to all the time when it would drive through Dothan. But if you're not making it out there, I'll spare you.
No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there this time. By the way, hey, an old name for baseball. Richie Howard lives in Dothan.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Shortstop for the 76 team.
Yep.
So,
wow.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Looking forward to tomorrow.
All right, Tex. Take care.
Be safe.
All right, take care.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Friday Drive.
Brady here with University Ace Hardware. Football season's here, and what better way to experience game day with your friends and family at University Ace Hardware. This season, we'll be hosting
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don here in the studio, and let's get right back to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Terry is next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill, Dan. How y'all doing? Coach Don, how y'all doing today?
Hey,
great.
Terry.
Great.
Coach Don, I got a question for you. I got a question for all of you, actually. But, Coach Don, I wanted to specialize. I think experience sometimes can be one of the overrated, overused excuses I've ever heard. Because I think some guys just – it doesn't matter if it's bad experience. So I just think that – and there's certain guys I think are just practice players, and certain guys I think are just gamers. Do you think I'm out of line there?
No. I think experience helps. But, you know, I've seen guys that, you know, never played a snap and go in and have a great game. But I think overall that the experience does help, especially at the quarterback position. Maybe a different position, it could be a little different. But, you know, I don't disagree entirely with you, but, you know, I do think experience is important.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying it's not important altogether. I'm just saying it's used too much.
It's not the be-all, end-all.
Well, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying. You're saying using that as an excuse maybe.
Well, no, and I think in the situation when you have a quarterback who – when the starting quarterback is not producing at the level people expect, or when people are unhappy with how the starting quarterback is playing and they want to see the backup, and you have an inexperienced backup, that's a tough thing for a coach to do, is to pull the plug on a guy who's been his first option for however long to go with somebody. It's easier to do during the week than I think it is during a game. Like we talked about it after that. Like, I don't know if there was I still don't think there's a moment, even if Hank Brown turns out to be sensational, I still don't think there was a moment in the Cal game where you said, okay, like that's the throw. That's the, maybe at the end, but the, you know, those two interceptions at the end, but what kind of chance do you give Hank Brown if you put him in after Peyton throws an interception with 2 minutes left or with 25 seconds left or something like that? So, yeah, it's a very tough thing for a coach to do. And I think it speaks to how dissatisfied Coach Freeze was with what he'd gotten out of the quarterback position, especially against Cal, that he thought that this is urgent. It can't wait. We got to, at the very least, get Hank Brown experience and maybe give Hank Brown a chance to win this job.
Dan, I'm going to borrow a line from my old employer, and I'm going to say, I used to tell them, grown-up people have to make grown-up decisions.
Well, that's pretty much – I mean, the thing is, you couldn't expect the decision to make a change before something like that, though. It took
right. It
took something like that to get it because, again, you had so many other components last year that you didn't know how much was on any one of those. I mean, you didn't have big play receivers. You know, you were still trying to piece together an offensive line. You had a play caller who had never worked with the coach, and they weren't necessarily on the same page. You don't have those problems this year, so you know where to look and what you're going to have to do if a change is needed.
Yeah, and Coach Reese said that, and before the season started, I've given him all the tools to be successful, and he still threw 4 interceptions against a good team.
Yeah, now we'll find out. I mean, because this is going to be a very – now, they're better – Arkansas's a better offensive team. Cal's a better defensive team. Now, but Hank Brown's going to be facing It's going to be a big, big step up. I think it's very fortunate for Auburn that it is at home. And, I mean, you've got big steps. They're pretty big steps every week. From New Mexico to Arkansas, from Arkansas to Oklahoma, Oklahoma to on the road at Athens.
The shoe's on the other foot now a little bit, though, Terry, because I do wonder, now the question becomes, and if Hank Brown plays really well, this isn't really a germane question to the discussion, but if, you know, if Hank Brown struggles tomorrow, the question of how much rope do you give him before going back to the guy who had started most of the last year and a half, I think.
Well, if the game's on the line and he's struggling, I think you might have to.
That's what I mean. I'm not sitting here advocating to make a switch, certainly after what we saw from Hank Brown against New Mexico. But
if Hank Brown goes out tomorrow and completes 14 or 15 passes and looks sharp, mark my word, guys, you'll get a call next week saying, well, we could have won the California game if we played Hank Brown.
Yeah. Yeah,
but oh, there are folks who already think you would have won the California game.
Hindsight's 20/20, or like I guess Yogi used to say it's 50/50. But I mean, yeah, that's a lot easier looking when you can see what's going to happen. If you could see into the future, that'd be great.
Yeah, there are folks who are already certain that Hank Brown would have won the California game.
And one quick baseball question, Bill and Dan: how long has it been since the Braves missed the playoffs completely?
17 yeah. I mean, they had a stretch. They had a stretch in the 2010s, right, where they missed the playoffs.
Yep.
Multiple years in a row.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Terry, quick question.
Yes, sir.
You're getting on an airplane. Do you want the pilot to ever have flown one before? Experience.
I can count on one hand.
All right.
I'm just teasing, buddy. I'm teasing.
You know, that's a good question. You know what? When I was a kid, coach, I had a medical procedure done at an Air Force Base hospital, and I had the misfortune of having the doctor tell me beforehand. That's my first time.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to know beforehand. But yeah, right. So you know, that's yeah. sometimes well, experience.
It seemed like it turned out all right, though.
I don't know. I mean,
oh, okay.
I knew a girl in Talladega had a baby. And the doctor told her, joking around, said, well, there's the first one.
Oh.
Take care, guys.
All right, Derek.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Speaking of baseball, we have gone
Ohtani.
An hour and a half without mentioning
the big show.
Unbelievable last night. I mean, he was on the verge of doing something that had never been done. And so he just topped it by doing, you know, two things. Doing something in a game that had never been done. To then get to the point where he has now done in a season what's never been done. Three homers last night, 6 for 6, but he also stole two bases. He is the first major league player ever to hit three homers and steal two bases in the same game to get him now to even 51 homers and 51 steals. With 9 games to go.
First Dodger to ever hit 50 homers in the long history of that franchise. First time ever, breaking Sean Green's franchise record of 49 in a season. At least the third player, or no, he's the third player ever, with at least 6 hits, at least 3 homers, and at least 10 RBIs in the same game. Walker Cooper did that in 1949. And Anthony Rendon did that for the Nationals a couple of years ago. But neither of those guys stole bases in that game as well. A remarkable performance from Shohei Ohtani. Leads the National League in RBIs. Second only to Aaron Judge in home runs this season. And is the first 50-50 player in Major League Baseball history. And is way, like, nobody who had hit 50 homers before had even stolen 30 bases, I believe. I think there'd been one 50-homer, 20-steal season in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah, most 50-homer hitters you generally think of as they're sluggers. They're the big, more bulky guys usually.
Right, and yet Shohei Ohtani with a season now, for the record books.
And we were talking about this a while ago off the air. It'll be really interesting to see how the Dodgers handle him next year when he's pitching again, because that's one of the things the Angels were concerned about, was running that much and taking a chance with his legs because he was pitching as well. So it'll be interesting to see if he can or is sort of given the green light to run as much.
Although Dave does tend to give his star players a green light. I mean, Freddie runs.
He does, but I mean,
it's different with a pitcher.
Would he give pitchers green lights? Even if they have good speed,
it's remarkable. By the way, another record Shohei Ohtani breaks that I would have been shocked to learn is 50 homer or 50 steals, the most ever in a single season by a Japanese born player breaking.
Yeah,
Dave Roberts' record.
You would have thought Ichiro.
I would have guessed Ichiro had that record, but it's in fact Dave Roberts who had a 49 steal season. The manager of the LA Dodgers who sees Shohei Ohtani break that record. But I think when Shohei's pitching next year, it's how they change what they did this year is going to be really interesting to see. I still think he's probably going to run more than he did as an Angel.
Oh, I'm sure. I feel like he will.
He just stole 50 bases.
He should be a shoe-in to be a 30-30 guy.
But it's
think. But just 50, you just don't know. You just don't know.
And he's going to play in his first postseason, which also
right.
was clinched yesterday. Dodgers guaranteeing themselves a spot in the Major League Baseball postseason. So we will see Shohei Ohtani in October for the first time in his Major League Baseball career.
And you've got there's some interesting races as we head into the we're heading into the final. These are the final 10 days starting today of the regular season. The season ends next Sunday. So you've got this weekend and next week, and you've got quite a few things. Some teams have clinched spots. I mean, the Brewers have wrapped up the Central, and you have other teams that have clinched postseason. But, I mean, you still got quite a few spots that are up for grabs, including the wild card. We talked about it a while ago with the Braves. The Braves two games back.
Cubs still mathematically alive in the wild card.
Yeah, they are. They're
four and a half back of the Braves.
Yeah, six and a half back of the wild card, of the third wild card spot.
Probably
with eight games to play, six and a half back. That's tough. Hey, the Cardinals aren't eliminated. They're eight games back with nine games to play. But yeah, those teams aren't going to make it. It's either going to be the Braves. You got the Diamondbacks and the Mets tied for the second wild card spot right now, so they would be 2 and 3 behind the Padres.
Padres, who welcome the White Sox to town this weekend for a three-game series.
Yeah, how about that? That White Sox, and speaking of
is
records.
Is that what you want?
We did not talk about this yesterday. The White Sox will set an all-time record for futility. The most losses ever in history of Major League Baseball in a single season was the 1962 expansion New York Mets. Who fortunately for them had a couple of games canceled that they didn't make up. They went 40-120. The White Sox right now have lost 117 games. They've won 36. 36-117. So if they can win five games, they at least won't have the fewest wins. But they're going to have the most.
Now, what's their record right now?
36-117. They have nine games to play, and they have to win
seven of nine to avoid tying.
They have to win 20% as many games in this next 9 days as they have won all year long.
Now, it's worth pointing out, Chicago lost 101 games last year, and by all accounts, they were worse going into the season than last year's 101 loss team.
And they have proven that.
Still, I think it's pretty shocking how terrible they've been. 300 plus runs, the differential between they've been outscored by 300 plus runs this year.
The next they've had
three
worst.
They've had three different 12 plus game losing streaks this season.
Actually, the Rockies have been outscored by 223. Okay. So that's the next worst, but still nearly 100 runs worse. Mm. Yeah. So
and there's a New York Times /Athletic article today that just absolutely takes a blowtorch to Jerry Reinsdorf for the conditions of the White Sox organization over the last couple of years and different cost-cutting methods that are, I mean, not in line with any Major League Baseball program. And, you know, I believe, you know, there are different instances where the White Sox are using very outdated equipment compared to other teams. It's like Moneyball. Right, like, you know, they're the ones charging for the, you know, 50 cents for the soda when it's free in every other clubhouse. You know, that's what they're doing.
Who would have thought that you're going to get at least as many teams from the AL Central as you do from the AL East in the playoffs? Because you've got the Royals are the second wild card team right now, and the Tigers and Twins. How about the Tigers tied for the third wild card spot right now, after there was, you know, everybody was like, sell, sell, sell. They need to get rid of everybody there at the trade deadline.
I mean, Detroit is still, I mean, it's a pretty wide open American League too, but they've played, they were one of the better teams over the summer. And they've, I mean, holding on to Tarek Skubal, you know, seems like it's
going
to be.
Yeah, there were a lot of questions about that. I mean, they trade Flaherty.
Is Casey in the mix there in Detroit?
Casey has been pitching. He's had a couple of really good ball games. Okay. He's had a couple where they weren't quite so
wonder if he would be in the mix potentially in a postseason.
Oh, I'm sure.
Tigers
I'm
sure. He's
in their rotation.
Just swept the Royals in Kansas City in 3 days, in three games over the weekend.
Yeah, that was huge. All right, so a little baseball talk there. I mean, it is fun. It is the stretch, and there are quite a few things still on the line.
We'll want to talk to Ty Richardson when we get back?
Let's do that. That'd be great. Talk to the show host there from Arkansas on his way into town for tomorrow's matchup. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final 20 minutes or so here on the Friday Drive with Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn.
Yeah, we're thrilled to welcome in one of our one of our favorites. It's Arkansas week, and a guy we get to talk to every now and then when Auburn and Arkansas cross paths is our buddy Ty Richardson from Hit That Line up in Arkansas. Hitthatline.com. You want to find out more about the great work they're doing covering the Hogs. Ty, my understanding is you Outlaws are on the caravan is headed towards Auburn. Has the Eagle landed?
The Eagle has landed.
Excellent. Brandon,
Bill, thanks for having me on. Guys, this is, and I'm not just blowing smoke. I think I told you this before. This is like one of my favorite campuses. Like, first time I went 2 years ago was awesome. The Burnett capital of the world. I love this place, and I'm just thrilled to be back and get to watch another game at Jordan-Hare Stadium tomorrow.
Yeah, we're thrilled to welcome in. I'm always impressed by the way Arkansas travels. You know, they bring a big group of folks for, that's not a short drive either from Fayetteville to Auburn. So no, I think it's really cool the way you guys travel and enjoy yourselves this weekend and support your team. And you guys, exciting start. I know the Oklahoma State game slipped away, but it's been a lively beginning to the season for Sam Pittman and the Hogs. And I have to imagine they go into Jordan-Hare Stadium tomorrow feeling like they got a chance.
Yeah, this should be an interesting game. You think about the dynamic of Nate Brown getting his second career start against an SEC opponent, and then the aspect you mentioned that Arkansas missed another chance at a one-score game. Auburn-Arkansas games are weird, right? I feel like it's either going to be a blowout or like an insane ending, and that's what we've had in this series recently. I know there's been good times for Arkansas, Fred Talley, DMAC days, and then there was a 56-3 shellacking back in 2016 that I somehow subjected myself to the whole game. So I just want a good game tomorrow. I'm still leaning Auburn just because I think it's going to be close, and I don't know how Arkansas wins close games, but maybe the magic will happen for the Razorbacks to start about 2:30.
Ty, Bill here. The portal has been so beneficial. When I look at this Arkansas team, man, if it weren't for the portal, it could be a nightmare. But I look offense especially at so many so many players who are making a big difference for the Hogs this year.
Yeah, Bill, it's remarkable. Starting with Jaquinda Jackson, the Utah and Texas transfer. I mean, here's a kid that started at Texas, is like number three dual threat coming out of high school, transfers to Utah, switches to running back, and now he's leading the SEC in touchdowns and is up near the top in rushing yards as well. That's just one guy. They added several defensive players out of the portal. Xavier Soares is probably their best defensive player outside of Landon Jackson. He's a portal kid from Georgia, and he knows what it's like to play in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So, yeah, this is a year that Arkansas, not just this year, but several years, Bill, you're spot on. They heavily rely on transfer portal players, not just to play, but a lot of times to start right away.
Well, I'm looking at Taylen Green and up front on the offensive line. I mean, just on and on. And that is one of the things we've talked about all week is, You know, Bobby, you know, people, Coach Dunn was talking about this, and he coached with Bobby for three different times.
Yes, right, three Dunn? Different stops.
Yeah, and talking about, you know, everybody thinks of Bobby slinging it around, but, man, he likes to run it. And if he gets that running game going, that really opens things up.
Yeah, and Coach, you Bill, and you're talking about Coach there, you know it more than most. Like, he almost passed to set up the run. Like, people yep. remember the late Ryan Mallett and Tyler mm-hmm. Wilson throwing all over the yard, but you also got to throw in Nile Davis and Dennis Johnson, and you go way back to his Auburn days, too.
Yeah.
That's what his MO is. And I think you're seeing it with this team. Like, yes, he wants to be able to throw the football, but he also wants to bury you with Jaquindon Jackson and Taylor Green down the stretch of games.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's his MO, and he's done a great job everywhere he's been doing that.
Ty, how is Jalen held up so far? You know, I got to see most of the Oklahoma State game. I've seen some of the UAB game. I know the accuracy numbers aren't overwhelming. But when he drops back to pass, he is he's an impressive guy who's made some tough throws for Arkansas this year.
Yeah, and Taylor being 6'6", 6'7", kind of helps him see over the entire line of mm-hmm. scrimmage. Not like he's a 6-foot quarterback that has to deal with that. So he's going to get better. I think his issue, guys, is like we're talking about Coach Petrino back in this. So he's always going to get compared to four quarterbacks. Matt Jones, one of my colleagues at ESPN Arkansas, the late Ryan Mallett, who I mentioned, Tyler Wilson, and then Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys had years under Petrino. Taylor got here in the offseason. Yes, they've known each other since high school. Yes, Coach Petrino offered him his first collegiate scholarship in Springfield at Missouri State. But this is a kid that hasn't even had a full offseason to get ready for SEC football. And I think we see all the time in the Southeastern Conference, we're right here at Auburn. Just because you transfer in as a highly touted quarterback or a guy that had made plays in other conferences doesn't mean you can acclimate to the SEC as quick. And he's trying to learn a complex offense that, Coach, you probably know all about. It's not like
yeah.
it's not just like one play. I mean, there's 50,000 things he's got to read pre and post snap. It's not easy to do sometimes.
Yeah, and Bobby, you know, Bobby's going to get after him too when he doesn't get those reads right.
Oh, gosh. He is. That Arkansas fans love it. And I don't know if, like, for Auburn fans with Coach Jordan or Tuberville or name, and I'm forgetting Bo Jackson's old coach, guys, Pat Dye, like anyone like that, when they used to get on to a player, I know fans like that. Like, he will light up Taylor on the sidelines, and he did the same for his other quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
So there's just something fans like about seeing a coach yell at a player after he makes a mistake.
Especially nowadays.
And Ty, Coach Dunn, back in the Tuberville era, he was on teams that had Travis. There as you yep. know, when Travis was an Auburn player, so I mean it's a homecoming for a very good defensive coordinator who has to figure out how he's going to attack an inexperienced quarterback.
And guys, I think you look at the game last year, 48-10. Peyton Thorne had probably his best game of the season. Mm-hmm. Arkansas got depleted, and Coach Williams his players got asked about it this week, and they said Coach Williams is treating it as another game, but they're treating it as something more. So the combination of looking really bad against Alabama, Birmingham, how the game ended last week, and the fact that Coach Williams, I think for the first time, is coaching against his alma mater. Maybe there was a time at UCF they did that I'm not aware of, but I know he's coached, obviously, for Auburn, but I think this mm-hmm. is the first time he's coached in Jordan-Hare Stadium wearing the other colors.
So yes, he coached against Auburn last year, but first time at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Right.
Yeah, Jordan-Hare Stadium. Sorry if I said that wrong. But, I mean, it's a big deal. So how the game went last year for that defense under his leadership, and I just know that those guys are going to play inspired tomorrow. That doesn't mean they'll win, but I think if you look at that, they're definitely not going to get lackluster after like they may have done last week against UAB.
When you look at both these teams, it seems there's some similarities in concerns a little bit. I mean, obviously, up front is tremendously important. Both teams have had their moments where there have been some struggles in the secondary.
Yeah, and Arkansas is missing some key pieces, Bill. A starting quarterback, a starting safety, and Hudson Clark and Braxton's kind of their best cover corner after losing Dwight McLaughlin last year. So it could be rough. And Hank Brown has got some young pieces, that he likes, and he had four touchdowns at 235 last week. You can't give that kid confidence. I mean, the other aspect of this is this. Arkansas doesn't sack a quarterback or rush him hard. So they've got a good run defense through three games, but they have nowhere near what an SEC defensive line should have in terms of pressuring the quarterback. So Brown's going to have some time to throw, and if Arkansas has to bring pressure, then he's going to go up against some second and third team defensive backs. And against that, again, I know they're young, but Auburn's got some pieces on the outside that can make plays, even as young kids. And that spells trouble for Arkansas.
Arkansas had some kicking misfortune in the Oklahoma State game.
Man, it cost them the game.
And and I wonder, what's been the company line over the last week and a half from the program about the kicker?
Well, so Ramsey kicked two or three in last week. One was a 51-yarder. He missed a 40-something. But I just think it's hard because Cam Little's kicking for the Jags. I don't know if we have any Jaguars fans. You got Jake
Tank Bigsby
kicking for the Lions.
Tank's there, too.
What's up?
Tank Bigsby is a Jaguar as well. So
okay, there we go. There's an Auburn connection. So you've got these, like, you've got two guys on your roster that are professional kickers now that were there last year and the year before. So that tells you what Arkansas had, and you just got accustomed to guys kicking 50-plus yard field goals like it was easy. It's not. And they took a step back there and amongst other areas, the special team. So, yeah, if it comes down to kicking and it's in Jordan-Hare Stadium, Auburn's going to win this football game. I'm just telling you right now that Arkansas rarely has any luck inside of this stadium. And if it's a last-second kick that either wins it or loses it, congratulations, Auburn fans. You won another close game against Arkansas.
Well, this one looks like a close game, and it also looks like one where there are going to be a few points scored.
Oh, yeah. I mean, between Taylen Green, and I think the whole idea is to stop Jarquez Hunter, but it's a lot easier said than done. This might be the battle of the best two running backs in the SEC. I thought you were going to say that a bunch of times about Auburn games, but I don't think many people thought you were going to say that about Arkansas with DeQuinn and Jackson, but I think those two teams, I mean, Freeze is an offensive savant. Coach, I know you know the same thing about Coach Petrino. He still got it all these years later.
Mm-hmm.
So Coach Williams, Coach Durkin, they're going to have their work cut out for tomorrow. There's no question about that.
How big a ball game is this for Sam Pittman? I mean, we've talked on this end. It's a big ball game for Hugh Freeze because he's trying to prove that Auburn's making a step forward from a year ago. Lose this ball game, and it's hard not to see what could be a skid and maybe tough to get back to 500. How big a ball game is this for Sam Pittman?
Oh, it's monumental, guys. And I think if Arkansas loses, they're probably not going to go to a bowl game. And I hate saying that, but you look at that path. Auburn's got some games on their schedule where you can say, all right, they're probably going to win that one. You look at Arkansas, and outside of at Mississippi State, I mean, they got LSU, Texas, Tennessee, and Ole Miss. Those are home games. There's not a check mark by any of those. Those are all good football teams.
Wow.
So if the Razorbacks don't win, you add another, and especially if they lose close, you add another notch to the wrong side of the category for Sam Pittman, and you're 2-2 heading to Jerry World next week, which we know how that game goes for Arkansas against Texas A&M. Painful loss after painful, excruciating loss. So, yeah, this is as big as it is for Auburn on that side, it's a massive game for Arkansas too, fellas.
Ty, tell everybody about how they can find the outstanding work that you do with the Hit That Line crew.
At Hit That Line AR on X, and then our Hit That Line Now app. You can listen to us at any time. I don't know how many Auburn fans want to listen to Arkansas stuff, but hey, we're talking each day from 6A to 7B Arkansas. So we'll. Guys, I'm excited for basketball, too. I can't wait for that basketball game when Cal brings the team in, and then baseball coming up as well. I like when Arkansas plays Auburn. It always seems to be a good game, a good series of some sort.
Yeah, just one Auburn-Arkansas game on the schedule in men's basketball, I believe February. Arkansas is making
the
trip.
In the jungle, baby.
Yeah. Arkansas is making the trip down here. Should be fun. Great talking to you, Ty.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I'll see you at Skybar tonight, Dan.
All right, see you around, bud. Save me a seat.
All right. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on The Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a five-star